much. Thank you for our church, Lord. I pray you bless this time as we open your word, that you would help us, Lord, to be able to preach your Bible, and that we could learn from your Bible as we study this subject tonight. In your precious name, I pray. Amen. All right, well, we're there in Ephesians chapter number 6, and we've been preaching on Sunday nights through the series on the subject of the family. If you remember, this is our third week. We preached the first sermon on the subject of a husband, and or the role of a husband. We preached the second sermon on the role of a wife, and tonight I'd like to preach on what it takes to biblically fulfill the role of a father, the role of a father. And we're really just trying to dissect every one of these roles and cover them thoroughly. And in Ephesians chapter number 6, I'd like you to notice just verse number 4. In verse number 4 of Ephesians chapter 6, the Bible says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." And that's a powerful verse when it comes to the subject of parenting, or specifically being a father. There we find God specifically addressing the father. And he says, "And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath." And I don't want to spend too much time tonight, but I want to give you just a few points on the role of a father, and how to biblically fulfill the role of a father. Point number one, and we're going to find all our points in verse number 4 there. Point number one I'd like you to see is this. It says, but bring them up. The point number one, or the first point in regards to fulfilling the role of a father, is this. A father is to bring them up, or bring up his children. Now, that word bring there, the definition of the word means to carry, to take, to support. If someone says, "Hey, bring me that, Bible over there." Yeah, what I'm asking you is to carry that Bible, to support that Bible, to take that Bible, to carry that Bible to a certain location. And the Bible, and God uses that same terminology when speaking to fathers, and he says, "Fathers, your job as a father for your children is to bring, or to carry, or to support, or to take them, to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Fathers should lead their homes and their children, and should really bring them. You know, you hear that term? Well, that's how I was brought up. You know, sometimes people say, "Oh, whatever." You say, "Oh, you're a hard-working young man," and oftentimes someone will say, "Well, that's how I was brought up. My parents just brought me up. You know, they taught me to be a hard worker, or I was brought up to be honest, or I was brought up, whatever it may be." And that's the idea there. We are to see a child. When God gives you a child, God is really giving you something to mold and something to invest into and to create, and we are to bring them up. And really, that's the first step in being a father, is not really what we're bringing them up in, but the fact that we're bringing them up. Go with me to Genesis chapter number 18. And you can keep your finger there in Ephesians 6, and we're going to be coming back to it throughout the sermon. But go to Genesis chapter number 18. And I'd like you to notice a few things out of the Word of God. In Genesis chapter number 18 and verse number 17, Genesis chapter number 18 and verse 17, God is speaking to Abraham. And God says, very interesting, Genesis 18, 17. God appears to Abraham. Three people appear to Abraham. Two angels and God. And God appears to the angel and has a conversation with him. And God's getting ready to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. But in verse 17, the Bible says, "And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do?" Referring to the fact that he's going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Look at verse 18. God is speaking to himself. This is what he's saying. Verse 18. This is what God said about Abraham. "Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation." I want you to say this. This is before Abraham had children. And God says about a man, before he has children, he says, "Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him." Look at verse 19. "For I know him." Understand, this is God speaking about a man. And he says, "For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him." Isn't that amazing? That God would look at a man, even before that man had children, and say, "I know him, and I know that he will keep the commands and his children and his household after him." He was saying, "I know that Abraham's a leader, and he will bring up his children, he will lead his children." Let me tell you something, there's an attack on the family tonight. attack in our country. And you say, well, what's the attack? And I believe one of the attacks is this. The fact that we do not have fathers who are leading their homes. Today, men have children, but they do not father them. Let me explain something to you. Having a baby does not make you a father. Having the ability to have a child does not make you a father. Fatherhood is under attack tonight. And because fatherhood is under attack, the home is under attack. And God looked at a man here, Abraham. Isn't that amazing? Abraham was blessed of God. A man who, was very, very, very into his elderly age. And God performed a miracle to allow him to have a child. A man that, by the way, that family became the nation of Israel. By the way, that man had physical descendants and had spiritual descendants. By the way, that man, his family and his lineage there is where Jesus Christ came out of. A great blessing, and God was able to look at that man before he had children and say, I know that he will lead his children. Let me show you another example. Go with me to Joshua. Joshua chapter number 24. The book of Joshua. You're there in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua. Joshua chapter number 24. Look at verse number 15. Joshua chapter number 24. Look at verse number 15. Joshua 24:15. Joshua 24:15. Joshua was a great man of God, led the children of Israel into the promised land. And in Joshua 24, Joshua is getting ready to die, and he's kind of giving his farewell address. He's giving his last speech to the children of Israel here. And in Joshua 24:15, this great man of God, notice the words he says. He's speaking to the nation of Israel. And he says, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, he says, choose you this day whom ye will serve. He said, look, we're not going to force you to serve God. He said, if it seems evil to you to choose the Lord, he said, then choose who you're going to serve. He said, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwelt. I want you to notice what Joshua said, though. He said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You see that? You notice there's no question there? You notice there's no wiggle room there? You notice he doesn't say, hey, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord if my kids want to. He doesn't say, hey, as for me and my house, we'll have Bible time if my kids don't complain so much about it. We'll serve the Lord and we'll go out soul winning if my wife doesn't want to sleep in, or if my kids don't complain, or if I don't have to do this, or if I don't have to do that. He says, look, you do whatever you want. You choose, serve the gods on the other side of the flood if that's what you want. But he said, I'm the father, I'm the leader, and as for me and my house, serve the Lord. And that's what we're missing in America today. That's why we've got so many broken homes. That's why we've got teenage pregnancy out of control. That's why we've got, teenagers getting pregnant out of wedlock. And we got, you say, why is all that? That's why we got kids, juvenile hall is filled tonight. Teenagers, don't do it, but if you go to high schools all across our country, you'll find kids on drugs, on alcohol. It's normal for teenagers to drink alcohol today. You say, why?
Well, it's against the law, Pastor. Don't you know they gotta be 21?
Yeah, right. You are normal as a 17-year-old tonight if you drink alcohol. You are normal as a 17, 16-year-old tonight if you smoke weed, if you fornicate, if you live a lifestyle that is wrong and sinful. You say, why is that? Let me tell you why it is. Because most children today do not have a father who says, hey, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will be in church. We will read our Bible. We will pray. We will have Bible time. Say, Pastor, what's the role of a father? Number one, to bring them up. It's just to lead. It's just to say, hey, I'm going to take my part. These are the children God has given me. This is the responsibility God has given me. And it's my job to carry that burden and that load and bring them up and make sure they're brought up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's our job. Fathers. I said number one, the role of fathers is to bring them up. Go back with me to Ephesians chapter number 6. Ephesians chapter number 6. Look at verse number 4. Ephesians chapter number 6 verse 4, the Bible says, then ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up. How do we bring them up though? Notice what he says. In the nurture. He says, in the nurture. I said, number one, the role of father is to bring them up. Number two is to bring them up in the nurture. You say, what does that mean? The word nurture comes from the word nourish.
It means to nourish or to feed. It means the same word we get our word nutrients from. Nurture means to strengthen. You know, you feed someone food and you want to feed them something healthy. Somebody's going to nourish them. You know, you ever heard of someone being malnourished? Because they're not getting the proper nourishment they need, the proper food they need. The Bible tells us that it's the job of a father to bring them up in the nurture or in the nourishment to feed. You say, are you talking about physically? Yes, we're talking about physically. Obviously, it's your job to feed your children. You know, I heard on the news just recently, just a couple weeks ago, it was in the news that a mother had packed a lunch for her daughter and sent her off to school. And the lunch was this: turkey sandwich, chips like Lay's potato chips, and an apple. And this has nothing to do with the sermon. I just think this is crazy. This child went to school, and there was a government official there whose job is to check the kids' lunches to make sure that the children are being fed, you know, correctly, because the government has the idea that we can't, you know, obviously we can't raise our own children. We don't know what we're doing. You know, and this government official just decided that the lunch was not adequate enough. He threw it in the trash and he made the little girl have the cafeteria food. And the little girl said she didn't like any cafeteria food, so she just ate the chicken nuggets. You know, the deep fried, you know, hydrogenated chicken nuggets. She throws away a turkey sandwich and an apple, and here's what he said: there was no vegetables. And here's what the mom said: I don't send vegetables home to school with my daughter because she won't eat them. I make sure she eats her vegetables at home for dinner because then I can watch her. She will eat her apple, but she won't eat her vegetable. Doesn't that sound like a responsible mother? But you know what we're developing today? Let me just break it down to you. We're developing in our country a nanny state, where the state becomes our nanny. And I no longer am, you know, allowed or have the ability even to be able to raise my children or to lead a family. The government has to do it for you. And let me tell you, you better be very careful how much dependency you have on the government. Because the government has this idea that it's going to tell us how to run our life, how to, you know, you got to do this, you got to do that. You know, we were just talking to Blanca and Sergio, and they're talking about, well, they're starting a business. They have an office. They're hiring employees. Isn't that what our economy needs? Businesses, people working. And then the government walks in and says, you didn't get the right permit. So you got to take down this wall, and you got to do this. And they're making them do it, and it's costing them all sorts of money. And it's like, why? You know, because the love of money is the root of all. It's just a bunch of fees is all it is. But we're developing this nanny state where if the government doesn't tell us we can do it, you're not allowed to do it. You know, you got to be very careful with that. Say, well, why do they feel like they can do it? Well, if the government owns you, if the government's paying your rent and paying your groceries and paying your, you know, and doing this and doing everything for you, provides your health care, provides this, provides that, hey, it's a nanny state mentality. You better be careful with that. It had nothing to do with the sermon. I don't even know why we're talking about that. But go back to nurture. Oh, yeah. The nurture is not just talking about feeding your family, although obviously your job is to feed your family physically. The nurture is, father, to nourish your family spiritually. Go to 1 John. Towards the end of the New Testament there, 1 John chapter number 2. So often, and I'm glad for it, I believe it's a great testimony. So often we have our church members, and they'll say to me or my wife something along this line: I like the Bible preaching because I feel like I'm getting fed. And praise the Lord for it. You know, they'll say, we like the Bible preaching because we get to learn the Bible here, and we're really getting fed and nourished spiritually. But let me tell you something. Yes, that's the job of the pastor at church, but Dad, that's your job at home. To nourish, to feed your children. And unfortunately, we have a whole lot of spiritually malnourished children walking around because we've got daddies that not only don't have the character to feed their children physically, they have even less character to feed their children spiritually. Look at 1 John chapter number 2, look at verse 12. Job number 1 of a dad is this. 1 John chapter number 2, look at verse number 12. Look what it says. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. Look at verse 13. This is John speaking through the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. And he says, I write unto you, fathers. Notice what he says.
I'm writing to your fathers because ye have known him that is from the beginning. Job number one of a dad is this, to know God and know his word. He said, I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. Notice he's addressing men. He says, I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. Look at verse 14. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. But I want you to notice, what do you keep saying to the fathers? I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. He says, fathers, I'm writing you because you're supposed to know him. God. Your job is to know God and to know His Word. You say, why do I, as a father, need to know God and His Word? So you can teach it to your children. So you can nurture and nourish your children spiritually. That's your job. Go with me to Proverbs chapter number 1. Let me prove it to you. Proverbs chapter number 1. Who loves the book of Proverbs? I love the book of Proverbs. You know, oftentimes we're taught, you know, that you should read a proverb of the day. There's 31 Proverbs. Many months have 31 days in them. No months have more than 31 days. And we're taught, you know, read the proverb of the day. So on March 4th, you would read Proverbs chapter 4. On March 5th, you would read Proverbs chapter 5. You know, and so on. And praise the Lord for it. The book of Proverbs is a book of wisdom. The book of Proverbs is a proverb where we're learning all sorts of wisdom, all sorts of instruction, all sorts of things to help us in life. But do you know this? That the book of Proverbs is a book written by a father to his son? Let me show it to you. Look at verse number 8. Proverbs 1:8. Look what it says. It says, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Look at verse, skip down to verse number 10. Look what it says. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Hey, that's good advice for a dad to give his son. Look at verse number 15. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. Talk about the sinners that entice thee. Look at Proverbs chapter number 2. Look at verse 1. Look what it says. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. Look at Proverbs chapter 3. Look at verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Look at verse 11 in the same chapter. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. Look at verse 21. In the same chapter, my son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. Look at Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 1. Hear ye the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. Look at verse 10 of chapter 4. It says, hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. Look at verse 20. He says, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Look at verse chapter 5, verse 1. My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding. Look at verse 20. And why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman, and embrace the bosom of a stranger? Look at chapter 6, verse 1. My son, if thou be surety for thy friend, if thou hast stricken thy hand with a stranger, thou art snared with the word of thy mouth, thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. Look at verse 3. Do this now, my son, and deliver thyself when thou art come into the hand of thy friend. Go, humble thyself, and make sure thy friend. Look at verse 20 of chapter number 6. He says, my son, keep thy father's commandments and forsake not the law of thy mother. Look at Proverbs chapter 7. Look at verse 1. My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Am I making my point? I can keep doing. I can keep going. You understand? The entire book of Proverbs is a father. Can you imagine how dedicated Solomon must have been? To write down, and we didn't write all the Proverbs, we understand. But to write down many, many, many Proverbs, trying to teach his son, you say, what was he trying to do? What was Solomon trying to do in the book of Proverbs? When he kept saying, my son, and he was giving him advice, my son, do this, my son, do that. What was he doing? He was nurturing him. He was nourishing him. That's our job, Father. That's your job. You say, well, I don't know enough Bible to teach my children. Shame on you. Read the Bible. Study the Bible. Memorize the Bible. Do what you got to do to teach your children the Bible. That's your job. The role of a father. By the way, that's why you got to be faithful to church. That's why you got to be faithful to Bible reading. Look, none of us start off knowing the Bible. You start where you're at. You start reading the Bible where you're at. You start learning what you know that you don't need to know a lot of Bible to be able to teach a 4-year-old something? You start where you're at. Read the Bible. Learn the Bible. Be faithful to church. That's your job, to bring them up, number one. Number two, to nurture. To nourish. By the way, have family Bible time. Go with me to Deuteronomy chapter number 6. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter number 6. I am a strong, strong believer in family Bible time. When I was a kid, we would have family Bible time on Friday nights. I hated it. And now, you say, why did you hate it? Because it was on Friday night when all the good shows were on. But now I do it. And I don't even have a TV. Have family Bible time. I believe in family Bible time. We have family Bible time every night at our home. We try to, at least. Sometimes things happen and we're not able to. Well, I'll tell you, the two nights we never have family Bible time. Wednesday night and Sunday night. You say, why? Because that's church time. You know, don't say, Pastor, I'm going to stay home and read the Bible with my kids and we're going to skip church. No, don't skip church. We preached about that this morning. Asaph, you need church. But I believe in family Bible time. Let me show it to you. Look at Deuteronomy chapter number 6. One of my favorite verses when it comes to raising children. Look at verse 7. Deuteronomy chapter number 6. Well, actually, yeah, look at verse 6. Look what it says. And these words. What words? Talking about God's words. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And the Sunday school teacher shall teach them diligently. Is that what it says? And the pastor shall teach them diligently. Is that what it says? And the teacher at school, what does it say? So look what it says. And thou, dad, and thou, mom, shall teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sit. You say, when should we? How often should we talk about the Bible and about God's word at our house? Well, look what he says: unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house. You know, when you sit down on that couch, maybe it'd be good if you turn off the television or throw it out the window and talk about God's word. He says, when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. He says, before you go to bed, when you wake up in the morning, when you're driving down the street, when you're sitting at God, he says, it's your job. Thou shalt teach them unto thy children. That's your job. He said, well, the pastor will take care of that. No, it's your job, Dad. It's your job, Mom. Teach God's word to your children. Nurture and nourish them. So maybe they'll grow up and have some strength to them. And not be these malnourished, weak Christians. They grow up, barely show up to church, barely know what they believe. Who knows if they're even saved? Why? Because you never taught them the Bible. It's your job, Dad. It's your job, Dad. Have family Bible time. I believe in that. It's not that hard. Sing a song with them. Read a chapter. Talk about it. Talk about what you got out of it. Have them talk about it. Have them read it. Read it with you. You know, when I was a kid, we were growing up, we'd break up the chapter. There was five of us in the family. We'd break it up, you know, 20 verses in a chapter. We'd each read four verses. Does that add up mathematically? Yes, it does. Good. And, you know, we'd read four verses. We'd talk about what we read. You don't need a Bible college degree. You just need some, you know, just character, integrity. It's all it takes. Go back to Ephesians chapter number 6. Ephesians chapter number 6. Ephesians chapter number 6, look at verse 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture, but not only in the nurture, it says, and admonition. And admonition. That word admonition, the word admonition comes from the word advise. It means to advise or to caution. It really means to correct. A loving father corrects his children. Let me say that again. A loving father corrects his children. Go with me to, I should have had you stay there. Go back to Proverbs. Look at Proverbs 23. Look at verse 11. Proverbs 23, verse 11. Today everybody wants to be their kid's friend. And look, you ought to be friendly with your children, but you're not their friend, Dad. You're not their peer. You're not supposed to be cool. You're supposed to be Dad. You're supposed to lead. Proverbs 23, look at verse number 11. That's not where I want to be. Proverbs 23. Yeah, yeah. Proverbs 23, look at verse 13. I'm sorry. Proverbs 23, look at verse 13. Look what it says. Withhold not correction from the child. For if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with a rod and shall deliver his soul from hell. Look at verse 15. My son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. Look, it's your job to discipline your children. Correct your children. And the Bible terminology for that is give them a spanking. Actually, the Bible uses the word beating. Now look, when we're talking about beating, we're not talking about, you know, putting your hand in a fist and hitting them in the face. That's not what we're talking about. But you take, you know, that their bottom that God created, you know, a spot with a little bit of cushioning there and a whole lot of nerves, and you swat them, and you discipline them, and you teach your children to have some boundaries. And let me tell you something. It's easier to teach a four-year-old where there are some boundaries that he can't cross or else there'll be correction than a 14-year-old or a 24-year-old. Or for that case, a 44-year-old. See, children today are being raised with no boundaries. Anything goes. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what mom says. It doesn't matter what dad says because they're not going to do anything about it anyway. You're going to let me do whatever I want. And then they think they go out in the world and do whatever they want. You let them get away with whatever, so then they think you just walk into people's house, take whatever they want. You understand what I'm saying? You're going to raise a monster. It's your job to admonish, advise, correct, and sometimes that means discipline. And a lot of times that means discipline. But let me just explain something to you. Go over to Hebrews chapter 12. Because people have this idea. If I spank my little precious... Don't nickname your children precious, please. At least don't do it around me. I mean, I'm not going to say anything, but I might bark when you're thinking. My little precious, he's 17 years old. He's grown a full beard. Good night. You know... His name is Joe. You know, call him that. I don't know. If anybody has a son named Joe, I don't know. Hebrews 12, look at verse 9. People have this idea. If I spank my children, they're not gonna like me. They're not supposed to like you. Like 40 years older than them. If they like you, there's a problem. No, I'm just kidding. Hebrews 12, 9. Look what it says. Hebrews 12, 9. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh. Actually, you know what? Let's begin reading. At verse number 6. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6. Are you there? I want you to see this. Hebrews chapter 12, look at verse 6. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Amen. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? Let me tell you something. A father that loves his children chastens his children. God the Father loves his children, so he chastens them. Look at verse 8. But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards or not sons? They're very interesting. You know, if you're a Christian and you just get away with whatever you want, you never get caught, there's never consequences, are you even saved? Because God the Father chastens His children. Look at verse 9. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh. Now he begins to talk about his physical parents. He says, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of the Spirit and live? Now look, the subject here that he's talking about the Heavenly Father correcting his spiritual children. We understand that. But he makes the statement. He said, hey, we had fathers of the flesh which corrected us and we gave them reverence. Let me tell you something. People have this idea. If I spank my children, they're not going to like me. Or they're not going to love me. And you know what the funny thing is? The exact opposite is true. Children that are spanked, that are disciplined, have reverence, have more love and more respect for their parents than children who are not. I'm telling you right now. The child that grows up, I just count it, you know, just write it down. When you see a child, and I've seen many of them, 13, 14, 15-year-olds, the child that grows up to hit their parent, to say, I hate you, mom, to say, I hate you, dad, to have that type of disrespect, that's a child who never got spanked. The child that gets corrected and disciplined as a my wife and I watch it with our children all the time. Our kids will start having an attitude and start doing something they're not supposed to. And we'll, you know, the thing with spanking is you gotta have discipline to do it because it's work. And sometimes my wife and I will just be like, stop doing that, you know. And their attitude just gets more defiant and more defiant. And when we finally get to a place where we spank them, you know what happens? they immediately calm down. They want to come cuddle with us. They act more, and we always say this. Why don't we just? We should just spank them the first time and just get it done. There's something about spanking them, honestly, that makes them have more reverence and love to you. And the children that don't get spanked are the children because they allow anger to just, you know. I remember I was in sixth grade, and I almost just fell over. I heard a girl say, "I hate my mom." I thought to myself, I couldn't even fathom someone having those words come out of their mouth. And I said, "You should not say that." And she said, "You don't know my mom." I said, "I don't need to know your mom. You shouldn't say those words. Those words should never come out of your mouth." I said, "Man, if I ever said those words, that'd be the last words I said. I'd be dead." Let me tell you something. You let your kids get away and get away and get away and don't spank them. Well, I just don't want them to hate me. You're gonna raise a monster, and don't come crying to Pastor Jimenez when you gotta, you know, visit them at the penitentiary. Children need boundaries. Dad, that's your job. Admonish. Correct, Dad. You know, moms have a sweet spot for the kids, and Mom, you better correct too. But Dad, that's your job. You do it. You do it. Go back to Ephesians chapter 6. We'll do this quickly. We're almost done. We have one more point in the conclusion. Ephesians chapter number 6. Ephesians 6, look at verse 4. Ephesians 6, look at verse 4. He says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Of the Lord. Of the Lord. Don't bring them up in the nurture and admonition of sports. Don't bring them up in the nurture and admonition of hunting. If your kids grow up to say, "Man, if there's one thing my dad taught me, it was hunting," you failed as a dad. Now look, I'm not against hunting. Unless you're trying to do it on Sunday. But, you know, if you go, "Man, one thing my dad taught me was a curveball," I'll tell you what. "One thing I learned from my dad was football. One thing what to God children would grow up and say, "You know, my dad wasn't really into sports, and he didn't really know much about hunting, and he wasn't really good at much, but you know one thing I did learn from him was loving God, was fearing God, was the Bible, was character and integrity and hard work." Hey, that's the kind of testimony you want. Raise them up, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Of the Lord. But I want you to notice something. You might have noticed we kind of skipped it at the beginning. The first part of verse 4 says this, "And ye fathers," it begins with this, "provoke not your children to wrath." Provoke not your children to wrath. Now listen to me. I believe in disciplining children. But we ought to discipline without picking on, without hurting. You understand that? The word "provoke" there means to stir up. It means to agitate. It means to arouse. And the Bible says, "Provoke not your children to wrath." That word "wrath" there means anger. You're there in Ephesians. Go with me to the book of Colossians. Go past the book of Philippians, and then you have the book of Colossians. And look at chapter number 3. Look at verse 21. God is so interested in this subject that he says it for us twice. Colossians chapter number 3, look at verse number 21. The Bible says, "Fathers, provoke not your children," look what he says, "to anger." Same word as wrath. Look what he says, "lest they be discouraged." You know, sometimes as fathers, I think because we're men or whatever, we have the ability to maybe just take things a little too far. And look, you ought to discipline your children, but you ought not hurt your children. Yeah, you know, there's a difference between being stern and disciplined and being mean. Do you understand that? And the Bible 2 times tells us to provoke not our children to wrath and to provoke not our children to anger. You know, I was recently doing HVAC training. And I was going to this school in the mornings learning HVAC. And they had 3 classes. They had a morning class, an evening class, and a night class. And I went to the morning class. But every once in a while, when people had to work or whatever, if they were going to miss like the night class, they could make that up by coming into the morning class. And one day I walked in, and there was a man, I don't know how old he was, probably in his late 30s, early 40s. He was sitting there, And I'd seen him around before. And he had a black eye. I mean, he had a shiner. And, you know, everybody walks in and says, "Oh, what happened?" You know, it's all these worldly guys. "Oh, what happened? You're going to fight this weekend?" And this is what he said. "When you have a 19-year-old son, you'll understand." And they all started laughing. And then, because those are all older guys, that's why the youngest guy, one of the youngest guys. And then the guy starts like, "Oh yeah. I remember when I had to drop my 17-year-old." And they're all laughing like it's a cool thing. You know, the Bible says, "Provoke not your children to wrath." You know, if it comes to a point where I gotta fist fight my 17-year-old somewhere, I failed as a father. You understand that? I failed as a father to nurture and admonish in the Lord. If it comes to a place where I've got to drop my son, and all these guys are talking about, like, "Oh yeah, that's just part of being a dad." You're crazy. You're insane. The Bible says, "Provoke not your children to wrath." Listen, we ought to discipline, but you got to balance that extreme of discipline with a whole lot of love. You know, and don't, you know, people think, how do you balance it? Well, you kind of just be in the middle. No, you discipline them as much as God tells you to, and then you love them as much as God tells you to. You know, you say, sometimes people say, you know, let me tell you the honest truth. I try to give my children everything that I can. If I can do it, if they ask for it and I can give it to them, I'll give it to them. If it's godly and there's nothing wrong with it. You spoil your children. No, we also have a whole lot of boundaries and a whole lot of rules and a whole lot of things. That you say, "Well, what do you do?" Well, I'm trying to balance both extremes. Because here's the thing. I've got a Heavenly Father who's going to discipline me, so I want to discipline my children. But I also have a Heavenly Father, and I want Him to give me things when I ask for them. So I want to give my children things when they ask for them. You understand that? Go with me to Luke chapter number 11. Luke chapter number 11. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke chapter number 11. Look at verse number 11. Luke chapter number 11. Look at verse number 11. The Bible says, "If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father..." Luke 11. I hear the pages turning on. Wait a second. Luke chapter 11. Look at verse 11. Luke chapter 11, verse 11. "If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him?" We got, you know, you say, how do I balance, you know, when I spank my children, I feel like they're just hurt and they're crying. How do I balance that? Here's how you balance it. You love them. You spend time with them. You read to them. You take them to the park. You're not talking about little children. You take them shopping, or you take them, you spend time with them. You'll balance that. You don't balance it by not spanking and then not spending time with them either because you're watching TV all night. You balance it by being all the way to the extreme on one side and all the way to the extreme on the other side. Just like God. You discipline and you love. But you don't provoke to anger. You don't provoke to wrath. There's a way to discipline without agitating. You understand that? That's our job, Dad. God thought it was so important, He put it in the Bible twice. Go with me to Malachi chapter number 4. We're done. We're gonna look at three more verses and we're done, alright? Malachi. I don't know how many I told you before, but I was probably lying to you. Malachi, chapter number 4. Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament. Malachi, chapter number 4. Look at verse 5. I want you to see this. We're done right here. This is the conclusion. We're gonna look at three verses and we're done. Malachi chapter 4. Look at verse number 5. Say, what's your job as a father? What's the role of a father? Malachi 4, look at verse 5. "Behold, I will send..." Malachi 4 or 5 is the last page in the Old Testament. Malachi 4 or 5, look what it says. "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." Look at verse 6. "And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." The Bible says that the job of a father is to turn, number one, turn his heart to his children and have his children to turn their heart to the father. That's our job, Dad. So how do you do that? By bringing them up, by nurturing, by admonishing, by loving, by not provoking to wrath. See, let me explain something to you. Our job... You know my children, I got a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old, and I got a girl on the way. Good night. How's that going to go? And my job as a father is this. My heart, number one, is to be turned to my children. So that their hearts will be turned to me. And let me tell you something. My children serve God. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But you got to understand this. Children, when they're young, serve God through their parents. Do you understand that? My children do not come to church because they have an overwhelming love for God. Right now, they don't know God. Remember Samuel? When God spoke to him? And he went to the prophet there, or the Levite there, and he said, "Did you call?" And he said, "I didn't call for you." And he went back to bed, and he heard his name called in, Samuel, Samuel. And he went back, and he said, "Did you call for me?" And he said, "I didn't call for you." And he went back to bed, and he heard the voice again a third time, Samuel, Samuel. And he went, and he said, "Did you call for me? I heard you calling for me." And he said, "The next time you hear God speak to you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.'" And he perceived there that God was speaking to him. And the Bible says the reason that Samuel did not understand that it was God speaking, because he didn't know God at that point. Now, Samuel became a great prophet, a great preacher of the word, but when he was a young boy, he did not know God. Our children do not know God. Look, our children serve God through their parents. My kids go to church because Dad tells them to go to church. My kids have Bible time because Dad tells them to have Bible. My kids have standards because Dad and Mom, their hearts are turned to us and they serve God through their father. But my job as a father is this. When they're young, to have their hearts turned towards me. And as they grow and mature physically, I want to turn their heart to their Heavenly Father. I used to go to church because my dad made me. Today I go to church because I love my Heavenly Father. You understand what I'm saying? If I've got to punch my 17-year-old, I don't have his heart. The job of a father is to have the heart of their child. But notice what it says. Verse 6. What's the first step? And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children. See, that's the problem. That's the problem right there. You will never have the heart of your child when they don't have your heart. When your heart's not turned. And let me tell you something. Children are not stupid. Children know when they're not the priority. Children know when they're not important. Kids know when outside relationships and outside jobs and outside careers and other things are more important than they are to their mom and dad. Kids know when daddy started dating so-and-so or mommy started dating so-and-so, I all of a sudden did not become more. They know when your heart's not turned to that. And then we wonder, why are my kids not listening? Why do I not have their heart? Maybe because you never had theirs. Because they never had yours. That's the problem. What's your job, Dad? Verse 6, and he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Go with me to James. James 1. Hebrews, then you've got the book of James. James 1. I told you we were going to look at 3. This is 2 of 3. We're almost done. James 1, look at verse 27. James 1, look at verse 27. James 1, towards the end of the New Testament. James 1:27. Look what it says. Remember I told you there's an attack on the family today? You know that most children in America today are raised without a father? You say, what do we do about it? Well, number one, we preach sermons like these. We try to reach men, get them saved, and teach them how to be a father. James 1:27 says, pure religion. Look what it says. James 1:27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. Look what it says. To visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. You say, Pastor Jimenez, I already messed up. I didn't get saved till my kids were raised, and I didn't know this, I didn't get this type of preaching, and I didn't get a chance to raise my children the way that God wanted me to raise them. What do I do? Here's what you can do. Some religion. You say, what are you talking about? You know that there's kids in this church who don't have fathers? You know that, you say, well, what should we do? Here's what we should do. Men, maybe you can step in and be a father figure and be a male figure and step in and say, you know, maybe I didn't raise her, maybe I don't have children, maybe it's too late for me, but it's not too late for so-and-so. So-and-so doesn't have a father. Hey, I can be a father figure to them. I can pray for them. I can love them. I can be kind to them. I can help out around the house to them. Why? Because children are growing up without fathers. And pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father. fatherless and widows in their affliction, to keep himself unspotted from the world.
Say, Pastor, what are you trying to do in the church?
Honestly, I will never be their dad, but if I can be a male figure in their life that they can look at and see someone who's faithful and true and loves God, maybe we can still save a generation. And maybe you can help with that. Maybe you can step in and be that male figure that people need. All around this country, children are being raised without fathers, children are being raised without their parents, children are being raised, you know, by parents who don't care about them. Step in and fill that gap. And say, hey, I can be a father to the fatherless. One more verse. Look at this. We're done. Proverbs 23:26. Proverbs 23:26. We're done right here. Proverbs 23:26. Proverbs 23:26. I should have told you to stay there, but I didn't. Proverbs 23:26. Look what it says. Okay, what's your role of the father? That's what we're preaching about, right? The role of the father. This is your role. Proverbs 23:26. This is what a father said to his son. He said, my son, give me thine heart. That's your role, Dad. My son, give me thine heart. How do I do that? Look what he says. And let thine eyes observe my ways. See, kids aren't dumb. They'll see you. They'll know what's real. They'll know what's true. And by the way, they'll know when you correct it. They'll know when you get right with God. They'll know when you say, hey, you know what? Well, yeah, well, you know, I had a bad whatever, but well, we're getting back to it now. And we're getting back to serving God. And we're getting back to Bible reading. And we're getting back. Hey, they'll see that. And you'll be able to look at your kids and say, my son, give me your heart and observe my ways. And Dad, that is your job. What's the role of father? To get the heart of your children by turning your heart towards them. And as they mature and grow, you transfer that from their physical father to their heavenly father. And maybe there's some kids who don't have a father that'll step into that. You just step in that place and say, hey, I'll pray for you. Hey, I'll help you. Hey, you know, I'll be a male in your life that you can look at, that you can that can be an example for you. And we'll rescue regeneration. We'll do a great work as we do pure religion. Undefiled before God, to visit the fatherless. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you, Lord, so much. Thank you for our church. And Lord, I thank you that I was raised by a mother and a father who loved you. And obviously, none of us are perfect. But we can try to nurture and admonish in the Lord. We love you, Father. Thank you for those who are here tonight. Thank you for their hearts and their spirits. Lord, you've given us great people in this church. I'm thankful for them. And I pray you'd help our families to be strengthened as we go through these series on the family. We love you. In your precious name, I pray. Amen.